for the next number of weeks. I believe wholeheartedly that one of the areas that the church has begun to struggle in is the idea of community. The idea of community puts aside the idea of consumerism. The idea of community puts aside what is my affection, what are my desires, what do I want to get out of this? And community says, I want what is best for the group. Community says, I want what's best for all of us. I want us to press together. I want us to love one another. I want us to be challenged together. And by the way, in real community, we even have disagreements. We may even have arguments, but that doesn't separate us. Right? It says we're family and community, and we're family with family. We say we're going to fight for one another. We're going to challenge one another. We're going to do our best to make sure that Christ is working in our lives personally, and part of Him working in our lives personally is trying to encourage others to walk with Christ as well. Did you know that as a true believer, it is your responsibility to help others know the faith that you have? And you can only grow so much if you're not then challenging someone else to grow. So I want to be very clear about this. I am saying that right now, that if you are not investing in someone else, if you're not putting your heart into someone else and helping someone else grow in the faith, that your faith has a ceiling. Right? Your faith has a ceiling, and you can't go past that unless you are then applying in community what God requires of all believers. And I do believe that in the church today, one of the struggles we have found is that we are so consumer-driven, we are so desire-driven, that we've forgotten that church is really about community. Community. You know that community is dirty? Did you know that sometimes community is ugly? It's precious, but it's not always clean. Did you know that community says that it doesn't matter whether or not I agree or disagree with someone, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ? I don't know about you, but in my family, and in the family that I grew up in, my brother and my sister, and if you know us very well, you may not believe this, but we fought like cats and dogs. I mean, we were always at each other at a young age. And I can remember even in the second grade, my brother and I at school in a fist fight, and then my best friend coming in to try to help me out. And what happened? My brother and I were now beating up my best friend because that's my brother. That's my brother. And I can remember my best friend and I talking about it afterwards because, you know, by the way, when boys fought back in the day, that just made their friendship stronger. That's how that worked back then. And he said, well, why did you start beating on me? I was there to help you. And I was like, I don't know. It's my brother. And I just believe that true community is willing to fight for one another. I'm not saying you need to pick up your fist. Please don't do that today. But we are to encourage one another. We are to stand together. Even in the Christian community and beyond the walls at 34th and Quaker, we have spent way too much time in the Christian community trying to speak negatively about other churches and believers, and I don't have time for that. If you are thinking that I am going to spend time talking about other believers and their practices, I'm not going to do that. I would not do that. I don't have time for that. My challenge is to encourage you to continue to walk in the faith so that we can present the truth and love to others. And so for about the next 4 to 6 weeks, it'll be at least 5 weeks, so I said 4 to 6. I should say 5 to 6, and it probably will go a little bit further than that. We're going to be in the book of Ruth, because I believe the book of Ruth illustrates very well the idea of family. In fact, in the book of Ruth, you see one of the most quoted verses in weddings. The idea of where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you. We see that, and we'll see that in our reading this morning. But the point for us to grasp this morning, and that what we'll see illustrated in our story, is that we hang tight to one another as we pursue the things of God. I will say it like this. I want for our church, I want for the Christian church, to be identified, as the scripture says, by our love for one another. Did you know that scripture never says, hey, if you can win a theological argument, that'll really show them? Did you know scripture never says, hey, if you join other churches or you church hop or you do this and you find what's best for you, never says anything like that. But it does say, you'll know my disciples by their love one for another. And we are followers of Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Ruth. I'm going to look at Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to give you some overview of Ruth in the first few verses and some overview of the last few verses because I think that is necessary. But we'll be looking at verses 6 through 14 together this morning. But the book of Ruth is a beautiful kind of love story set in the period where the judges were ruling in Israel. And we see that in the very first verse. It's a different pattern. It's a different place. Even if you were to read the book of Judges, what you were seeing in the book of Judges is there are nations who are taking over the nation of Israel or taking over different nations. And then God, for Israel specifically, sends a deliverer or a judge, and he releases them, and it happens over and over and over again in the book of Judges. We're seeing in the book of Ruth kind of that same time period, the idea that they were being ruled by the judges, and this era was marked by immorality and idolatry and war. This is not a great time to live on the planet, okay? And we see, it tells a story, we'll see a story of devotion and faithfulness, and we see a Moabite widow throughout this story, Ruth, who leaves her homeland, and she clings to her mother-in-law, Naomi, in the land of Israel, and God honors that commitment. And we'll see that here in just a little bit. But it says, really, that the book of Ruth kind of serves two purposes. It kind of illustrates how choices are important. I know that it's very kind of us to say that your choices don't really affect who you are and what you do, because we think that everybody is a good person. I want you to know that choices still do affect what we do and who we are, okay? They do affect us, and I want to be clear about that. I want to be clear that for our middle school and high school and college students, that what you are doing right now will affect who you are in the future. Maybe you can turn the page, but there are still decisions that you're making, especially our college students and our young careers. I mean, what you're doing right now, you're setting the standard and the tone and the stage for what you will do in the future. And decisions, that they are important right now. But it also explains how Ruth, a Moabitess, came to be the ancestor. Ruth, this book, is the ancestor of David, which is now in the lineage of Jesus. It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible that a decision that we see made here will then put her in the genealogy of Jesus. Incredible. It's incredible. So we see this, that ultimately, in Matthew 1, 5, and 6, we see this illustrated. It says, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. We see that lineage, and we know that Jesus is in the line of David. It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. We've got all that already in the first couple of verses. And so, as we continue to move on, we see that in the first few verses of the first chapter, Elimelech and Naomi were moving with their two sons because there was famine in the land. There was maybe even a distrust that they were using their own resources, saying, we've got this, and there's famine in this land, and there's plenty in another land, so let's make a decision right now, and let's make sure that we take care of us right now. And what we'll see is those decisions will be pretty horrific. Naomi will find her husband dead, and then shortly after, she'll find her two sons dead. Now again, this is not comfortable for us. We say, well, maybe this was something else, or something else happened. I'm just saying that there were decisions made that ultimately said, hey, we want to take this out of the hands of maybe even the Heavenly Father right now, because we're not comfortable in our situation, and we're going to make a decision to go and to do something else. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been a pastor for 22 years in the ministry since I was 19. It's always been like this in the church. I'm not comfortable. I don't like what's happening. I'm struggling with this. This person hurt my feelings. The pastor doesn't preach like I want him to. The music is too loud. The music is too soft. They don't do enough hymns. They don't do enough praise choruses. We want a pastor who's 20 but has the wisdom of 70. And what happens is churches are filled with people who are looking weak to week to say, did that fit me? And I'm going to tell you, what we'll find is our commitment as believers needs to be a little stronger than week to week. And by the way, that's not comfortable for me to say. I know I'm the pastor. It really, that's a struggle for me to say. But I'm going to tell you that that has been characteristic of every church that I have served in. So I would say that's probably happens in most churches. We'll see a little bit of a different story. So let's read Ruth chapter 1, verse 6 through 18. And if you would, take your Bibles and stand for together for the reading of God's Word. And we'll read verse 6 through 18, and then we'll try to apply this to our lives. It says this: when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared a return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road and would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them and wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you and your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going to back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Wherever you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Father, we pray just a blessing over the reading of your word. God, we pray that you would help us understand your word. God, you would give us the truth of your word. God, we love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. This story sets up fairly nicely for us because we're going to apply basically three different types of situations and personalities that go on within the story. The first thing is that we see one of the widows of the community is lamenting. We see that Naomi has had struggle. We see that Naomi has really been hurt. What we've seen is that she's lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. She's lost her desire to stay where she was. She's lost her desire for anything real that would happen in her life. Naomi feels that she has no hope for today. I'm going to tell you, I find this to be true even in the Christian community, that there are people even here today that don't really find hope for today. And what I am saying, and what I would sense, and what I would hope to plead with you on this hope for today, is that you find your hope in Jesus Christ day by day. That you find your hope in the Lord day by day. Too many times what we find in our current situation is that we find ourselves struggling with circumstances and we say, it's not worth it. How could God love me? My circumstances are dire. Everything around me is falling and failing. And I'm going to tell you, that is a very individualistic look in Christianity. We in 2017... studies continue, but we are the most entertained, these young folks here are the most entertained generation ever. And they are also the most bored generation ever. You want to know why? Because we put our hope in stuff. We put our hope and things. We put our hope in circumstances and situations. And our God is not confined by circumstances or situations. Naomi feels like she has no hope for today. By the way, it continues. We see this, that Naomi feels like she has no hope for even tomorrow. Her circumstances look grim. They look difficult. There's famine in Judah, says Ruth at verse 6. And we see that she encourages her daughters, her daughter-in-laws, to remain in Moab. And she encourages them to go and find other husbands. She says, even if I had two sons right now, would you wait for them? Kind of an odd, right? That's kind of odd to think about that. There are odd places in Scripture. We don't understand the context. But what we see here is, we see a woman who's saying, look, flee from me because my life has gone downhill and I don't want to drag you down with me. She has no income. She has no place to live. Even her future, though, looks bleak. She has no husband. She has no more sons. She has nothing to look forward to. She's now quoting that her two daughters-in-law can have not even the Levirate marriage. It stated in Deuteronomy chapter 25, 5, where the widow would be taking care of the brother if need be. There's nothing for that for Ruth and Orpah. Naomi actually encourages them to go back to their pagan lands. And folks, this tells me no hope of a future, and goes back to their pagan gods. You won't find goodness in the land where I'm going. You won't find goodness. You won't find goodness in the God that I serve, the Israelite God. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods, and maybe you will find favor. That's truly no hope for tomorrow. So we see one of the widows who just absolutely is devastated. We see another widow in the community, not only one that's lamenting, we see another one that's leaving. Now, some of you right now may be saying, well, that's that, Adam, you're really being hard on Orpah. I mean, there was really nothing good to stay for. The struggle here is that Orpah is returning to her relatives, the relatives that she had left. She has found a new home. She has found a new place. And when the situation got grim, when the situation, even with her mother-in-law saying, go, I want you to be happy, she can only think about the current circumstances. And folks, we have that same kind of nearsightedness in our current Christian community, do we not? It's kind of like, I can only see my circumstances right now. And if my circumstances aren't what I want them to be, I'll go find another place and seek out better circumstances. Often family ties that we have, family affections that we have, often they can actually, don't slay me for this, but sometimes our family ties can actually hinder our walk with the Lord. You know that? Nobody wants to talk poorly of their family. And if maybe if you said that about my brother, we'd be fighting you, right? You know. But sometimes our family can be a hindrance. What Naomi has now told the two girls to do has been a hindrance. And we see real struggle. We see what seems to be like a believer in Naomi now instructing her young disciples to do something that would be against God's will, to worship other gods. Orpah is returning to her relatives. She's returning to her old religion. There are times when we talk about who God is, and there are times when we grew up with a set of ideals that were common to who we are, and we've kind of tried to make God out to who we think He should be, and sometimes that meddles with the truth, right? I mean, we've made God out, we've kind of pictured Him as how we want Him to be. We've pictured Jesus at like 6'4", very muscular, blonde-headed, blue-eyed, kind of. That's not Jesus, you guys. That's not Jesus at all. Impossible. Impossible. I remember when I played Jesus and I had to walk up in the loincloth and my buff body and everything. Don't visualize that. But I truly am not a picture of Jesus. We've got him in his beard and his long locks and flowing hair. The Bible says there was nothing in his appearance that drew men to him. Orpah is leaving and she's going back to a place that has already failed. And she's going back to gods that we know have failed. We have one of our ladies who is lamenting, one of our ladies who is leaving, and then I want to show you the true picture of what community does. One of our widows of the community is loving. Let me tell you what loving does. Loving says, I'm not concerned with my own circumstances. I want to put others before myself. Some of you might say right now, well, I've tried to put others before myself and I just got walked on. I just got stepped on. And so I can't do that anymore. I can't have people walking on me or stepping on me. Let God take care of that. Let God take care of that. We are to be, as believers, putting others before ourselves. And trust me, when you get that right, when you have your priorities in order and you have God first and then your family and then what you do and then your friends and you're putting others before you, trust me, God will bless you for that. Ruth commits her life to her new family. See, what we see here is Naomi saying, go for me. I'm miserable. I can't take it anymore. And we have one Orpah who leaves, and Ruth is saying, I can't leave you. Why can't she leave? Because she's already committed to stay. She committed to stay. She's committed to stay even before this situation. She has already made up her mind before this situation. She's already made up her mind to say, I'm going to do as I believe God has instructed me. I'm going to stay with God's people, and I'm going to bless the woman who has already blessed me. I'm going to show love unconditionally. What do you think would happen if the church could somehow identify and practice unconditional love? Don't you think that would be something that would be magnetic for people to want to be a part of? It's something that would be relaxing. It was something that would be encouraging. What if we showed unconditional love? Because that's the love that we learn from the Heavenly Father. Did you know when we put conditions on our love and we say, I'm not going to love that person because they don't love me in return, the Scripture says everyone can love those who love them back. But what about loving those who don't return your love? What about those who actually return your love with anger? Can you still love them? The Bible says we should. The Bible says we should. And Ruth here, she is staying committed. She is staying with her mother-in-law. She's adopted this new family, and she's stayed with this new family, and she's also committed her life to a new father, the Heavenly Father. Ever thought about why we look back so much? Even in the church, we do this, right? We look back, and what's back there? For Ruth, her looking back, there's only death and destruction, right? What she's saying is, I'm gonna forge ahead. I'm gonna plan to walk forward. I'm gonna walk in love. I'm gonna be obedient to my new father. I'm gonna be obedient and encouraging to my mother-in-law because she needs me. And I'm gonna do this. And I'm not gonna worry about blessing, but what we'll see in the coming chapters is that Ruth will be blessed because she made the correct decision. And I would even challenge us to know that there is something in our decisions. Ruth's name means friendship. And Ruth makes a noble choice here. What does she say? She says, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going. Naomi, wherever you live, I'll live. I'm going to make the people of Naomi my people. I'm going to make the God of Naomi my God. I will die and be buried where Naomi is buried. And she says, I will not even let death come between us. Naomi, let's just throw it out here. I mean, we think this is a great, great love story, and we think, oh, Naomi, that must be great. Naomi, her name meant pleasant. But what we see in the following verses about verse 19 and 20 and 21 is that Naomi changes her name to Mara. You know what Mara means? Bitter. Ruth is committing to a bitter old lady. Does that sound enticing to anybody? Sign me up. Yes, absolutely. I think that sounds great. Ruth didn't let circumstances influence her decision making. She says, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. So I'm asking you in conclusion, just very quickly, because I think it's pretty simple to see. Who are you in this story? Where do you fall in this story? Are you like Naomi? Who, again, we almost can feel sorry for her because her situation has been so bad. But some of us have allowed our situation and our circumstances to make us bitter. That's no way to live. I'm trying to be encouraging about this. I'm trying to do this in love. But I want to tell you the truth. Living a bitter life is not freedom. Maybe some of us are like Orpah. Situations, circumstances change, and we find ourselves wanting to run, hightail, find something new, do something different. Maybe even some of us in this room today have said, you know what, sometimes Christianity doesn't work for me, so I wanted to try a new religion. I wanted to try to find a new father. Or maybe this idea of Christianity isn't really the truth, and so I'm trying to mix all of these religions. Well, that's saying to me right now that you don't believe the Bible, because the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so for us to say, well, I think there are several ways. I think all of us have opportunity, and God is very loving, and he wouldn't send anyone to hell. God is loving, and he wouldn't send anyone to hell, but he'll allow us to condemn ourselves to hell. Scripture is very clear. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, says Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Who is our faith in? Who are we actively pursuing our faith in? Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And then maybe some of us are really challenged by this idea of Ruth. And you say, you know what? I want to be the believer that says, I will not allow circumstances to change who I am. I'm going to put my full faith and commitment and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, putting your faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to have eternal life, but it's also the only way to have abundant life right here, right now. The world will tell you, hey, you can find happiness in circumstances. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not true. Circumstances are fleeting and misleading. But our Heavenly Father is consistent. And being committed in that consistency, I promise you, you will find abundant life. You'll find eternal life. And finally, I will say this, that our community, Christian community, church community, even 34th and Quaker, we need to find hope in today and tomorrow in Christ, so that we can encourage one another to do the same. And yes, we are, look at me, we are responsible for each other. I know the world is telling us, hey, just worry about yourself. But I am responsible and accountable to you, as you are to me, and as you are to one another. And we're going to continue that story and see how that story can shape who we are in community and in our relationship with Christ. But I ask you this morning, where are you? Have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ? If not, today's the perfect day to do it. I'd love to be able to share with you how to do that. You admit that you are a sinner. You believe in Jesus Christ and that he was raised from the dead. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Are you committed to community? It's the only way you'll find true satisfaction and abundant life. However the Holy Spirit is making your heart tender, I would ask for you to respond this morning. Maybe coming this morning saying, I want to put my faith in Jesus. Maybe coming this morning saying, I want to place my membership in this community. Or even saying this morning, I've not walked like I should have. And maybe I've even taken the attitude of Orpah and walked away. But I want to get right. However the Holy Spirit is leading, we would invite you to come. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a little bit. Gives you the opportunity to respond. Gives you the opportunity to think. And however the Holy Spirit is leading you, I would invite you to respond. God, we pray even now. Just thankfulness for being a part of community. Just thankfulness for being a part of who you are. Thankfulness for being able to live out community with one another. Thankfulness for being able to call you our Heavenly Father. God, I've been doing this a long time, and I am fully aware that there are people in this room right now that have never put their faith and their trust in you. And God, today in this moment is a perfect time to do that. God, I pray that we would follow you in obedience. God, there are some people here, maybe even today, that are saying, you know, I need to be a part of a church community. And God, and maybe you're even calling them to be a part, a member here. God, there, we are not a perfect church, as you know. But we are a church thriving to walk in community and to pursue who you are. And God, then I know that there are people in this place right now that just, maybe they are even already a believer, but they just have the weight of the world on their shoulders and they need to release that. And the only way to release that is to give that to you. God, I pray that you would bring renewal. This time of singing and response is yours, Father. It's a part of our worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand together. Christians praying. You respond however you need to. Coming by faith. Coming to move your membership. Coming to say, I just want renewal. I just want to walk in Christ. We'll sing together. But you come as the Holy Spirit leads.